future after all may to leave you, Father. If we are tied to the world, going, we come. I gave about four talks already. First was on meditation, very important subject. Second was about spirituality, what is called spirituality, what we people generally know, and what is the true spirituality. Then came up the question of master. Who is really a master? The definition given by the masters in their scriptures, they will just put before you, and what they give. That was the third talk. Fourth talk was that God, or the kingdom of God is within you, how to rise above it. So it was explained last night. The ten doors of the man body, nine are apparent, two eyes, two nose, nostrils, two ears, mouth, two underneath. These are the open to the sense world. We have to rise above it, back, go back to the seat of the soul in the body, which is at the back of the eye. So all these subjects have been assumed me what we generally would not like to hear, because it is a question of dying. We see everyone as a matter of course to die someday. Man, bird or beast, rich or poor, healthy or diseased, young or old. There is no escape from this. How to conquer death, that is the point also. But the subject was how to meditate, how to withdraw our attention from all outside to know ourselves. That is important. First motto given by our masters, man know thyself. Second, what we take generally, what is spirituality? We mistake spirituality with isms, exotic side of the religion, social body, whereas it is not. It is purely a subject of self-analysis, to know oneself, and to come in contact with God, which is controlling us in the body and controlling all creation. This was the subject. What, who they are, what they are, then what they give. They just now we are identifying with you. Our faculties, mind and body and outward world so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. Their first work is to raise the man from the physical body into the door of death through which man passes at the time of death. So this is what they do. And open the door next after that. We have to how to access into the beyond. For that it is explained we have to twice born, we have to be reborn, and we have to learn to die so that we may begin to live. These things were explained to you day before yesterday. Yesterday it was laid down how the soul is the seat of the soul in the body. When it comes up, the angle of vision of the whole world is changed. You find what you are. How do you come in contact with that? Now in continuation, it is the last talk. Very brief. Time won't permit us to lengthen it. The only point is now that we have to after all leave body. No exception to the rule. So, last enemy that we have to conquer is death. How to conquer death? conquer death means you must learn how to die. And what is death? It will be drying up our attention from all outside, from the body below, rise up to the seat of the soul in the body, which is at the back of the eyes. When at the time of death, the eyes are upturned and then transcend into the beyond. So this is, people ask masters, how these outgoing faculties are inverted, recede. And the master told them, look here, better sit and see. Some things cannot be expressed in words, they can be experienced. So what is the criterion, what it comes to? He says, when you sit, with all your attention from all outside, and from the outward faculties, and mind is stilled, and intellect also after understanding something, saying something, rest for a while, that comes to the seat of the soul in the body at the back of the eyes. Naturally, the old faculties are, attention will be drawn from them. What happens just as it happens at the time of death? Saint Plutarch tells us that those who are initiated into the mystery of the beyond, their soul has the same experience of leaving the body as it has at the time of death. So we find in scriptures, when attention is drawn to the seat of the soul's body, there it will be to penetrate into the beyond. What this process is, it is very delicate. To say, knock at the door, it shall be opened unto you. That's what. Penetrating your whole attention at the seat of the soul into the beyond, that will open the door. So the masters have been referring to this, straight is the gate, and narrow the way to which leadeth to life, eternal, and few there are that find it. So all other masters, none said, the blind find not the door, which is at the back of the eyes, which leads to the beyond. This is our attention to be. We draw from outside, that has to knock the door and the door will be open to you. So, all Master tells us, Christ referred to once, behold, I attend, stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, what will he do? I will open the door, I will come in and will sup with him and he with me. So there, when you read there, the master is one, as I told you the other day, is not the body. He has got the body to work through, but he has the competency to guide you here and hereafter too. That's the luminous form of the matter. The way God word, Prophet Muhammad says, where God word is narrower than hair and sharper than the edge of a razor. Similarly, all others who have been just having that experience, they refer to it is like a sword's edge and thinner than the hair's edge. So this is how the soul has to peeled up from all outward attachments and entered into the tenth door and transcended into the beyond. Saint Plutarch also said the same thing as I quoted you just now. But at the time, you see, those who are initiated into the mystery of the beyond, their soul has the same experience as a man has at the time of death. So you will find we are all afraid of death. Why? For two reasons. One, we do not know to withdraw from the body. So Master tell us how to rise above body. They give us a demonstration for the wise. and given demonstration. As I just referred to you, somebody asked the Master how the attention or the organ faculties will be drawn inverted. He said, better sit down and have it. So that is matter to be experienced at the time of initiation. For a while, the soul will be drawn from outside, rise up a body consciousness, you forget your body, and single eyes open, you see the light of God within you. That's the bread of life and water of life. So entire world is afraid of death, and everyone desires to have an endless life. He wants to live here forever. For one reason, that he does not know how to live. If you go to the scriptures, they tell us, at the time of death, as we are not accustomed to leave the body at will, it is just like one is stung by thousand scorpions. How terrible pain you have. That's something compared to that. Prophet Muhammad refers to it as a thorny bush is put into the rectum and dragged through the gullet, mouth. These are some of the similes given to show like that. But the point is, if we learn how to rise above body consciousness, demonstration of which is given at the time of initiation, you leave the body day to day by regular practice with no sting, with no pain whatsoever. So for that, those with the grace of the Master learn how to rise above body consciousness. Naturally, in due course of time, they can traverse into the beyond. So Master is one whose body works in the world, and his soul is the mouthpiece of God, in tune with God. His body appears to be engaged in all the worldly affairs, but whenever he wants, he transcends the body and transcends the beyond. And also he makes it, those who come to him have that experience. The very first thing they give is how to rise above body conscious. By regular practice, they have to rise above body conscious daily. So fear of death is gone, because he dies daily. St. Paul said, I die daily. To die daily or taking cross means to rise above body consciousness. Taking cross means that. Go up. In the words of Balaram, we are all in the prison house of the body. If you have to go out of it, outer doors are closed, you cannot run away. Break through the roof of the prison. These are references given just to show how to do it, but how to do it is demonstration given at the time of initiation by the Master. So all Masters see the scriptures, all they say like that, those he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Losing the life means, you see, while alive you have to die. You have to reborn. You have to be twice born. So this first birth is in the body and the other birth is into the beyond. This is what is demonstrated by the Master to those who come to him, and by regular practice they become competent to rise above body just at their will and pleasure. So, Guru Nanak said, learn to die 100 times a day. Not one, 100 times. For a man who rises above body consciousness daily, he dies daily, what fear is that? And the other reason is why we are afraid of death, because we do not know where to go further. What happens after that? So there is life after that, as sure as death. Macrocosm is in the microcosm. We've got body to work in those planes. Now we work in the physical plane. When we shake off at the time of death, physical body, we have astral body to work in the astral plane. Similarly, causal body is the causal plane. When we shake off all these bodies, we reach the true home of the Father. There we get eternal life. So this is what our Masters have been teaching and told us. So, somebody is reported to Prophet Muhammad, is this a death which will take, which are me to take us to the grave. Prophet told them, no, it is not such a death. It is only a death which will take from darkness to light, as sun rises here and rises the other. Sets here and rises the other. Good. Similarly, all masters I'm referring to that. Mortu kimnam, then die before you die. This is also Dalu, saint said, learn to die before you are to die. So the demarcation has been given by the masters at the time of initiation who follows it, so all fear of death has no effect of him, and where to go further, he sees what his own self, what is what. So what does it profit a man if he gains the possessions of the whole world and loses one's own soul? That's the most important part of the life, man body, in which we can have this experience. Unfortunately, we have got the man body. So, is it possible, that's the question arises, can we really rise above body consciousness? Tulsi saints tell us, yes. Who are saints? Their soul rises above the body consciousness and traverses into the beyond. And also those who sit at their feet, they also give the same experience, and they work 100% up to what they say and follow it, they become, have the same status as of their master. Every saint has its past and every saint has its future. Not only Saint Tuli has referred to it, Mirabai also says. She says, I was wondering how one can rise above body consciousness. Now I see my eyes, I have risen above body consciousness. This Guru Amar Das refers to it. Well, how to, our outgoing faculties are reverted. He says, come and sit and have it. Some things are, can be experienced, not at how the outgoing faculty be down, inverted. He says, the only sign is when you completely be down, your body just as a dead body, you rise above it, then you have an ingress into the beyond and experience of that God power, into expression power, which are two phases, light and sound, like that. So all this is had at the time, at the feet of a master, as I explained to you, who is a master. So what we take? We take, just like world teachers, we are great, I mean, straight for those at whose feet we learn all these things, outward things. But this is something of the beyond, where the world philosophy ends, their religion starts. So for that reason, Master advised us, look here, this man, thy body that has been given to us, it is a golden opportunity in which we can conquer death. We can go back to the house of our father. This very short-lived. Why are you, this won't last long after you have to leave the body. So, this is a golden opportunity if you learn how to leave the body and enjoy beyond and reach the home of your father. This is what the main thing what you have to do. So, what is the thing that will give you, I mean, some impetus to go Godward? And that is, you remember, you have to leave the body. If you leave the body, are you ready? What things will go with you? What relations will follow you? Nobody, even this body, which is the first companion, when we enter the body, a world, that also does not go along with us. How can all other things which have come in our contact through the man body. So this is the first thing to be ready. That may come at any time. If you are not ready, then the same fate awaits you. So man body is the golden opportunity in which we can know how to rise above body consciousness. Here Tulsi, Guru Nanak, Kabir, another say, we rise above body consciousness. Saint Paul says, I die daily, take cross daily. So this is the most important, that is the most personal question which affects us, in which nobody else can help us. This man body, you see, in this we are bound to certain extent and free within certain limits. Bound we are as we are to reap the seeds that we have sown as a reaction of the power, on which depends the length of life, on which depends all the prosperity and adversity. Some are coming, some are going. But when a railway line is laid down, train has to run over that. After that, you are free to lay down the further line. So man mind is such a station where you can have your way back to God. And that will start by rising above body consciousness at will, which is experienced or demonstrated by a master at the time of initiation. If you practice that regularly, accurately, then you will be comfortably in the body that will enjoy the other world. All glory and beauty lies within you. Sweet stories of that you find in scriptures. If we are ready, that's the point. If not ready, then we will have to go. If you know how to rise above body, cross it to the easy task. Jai to go there. Kabir says, when people are afraid of hearing the name of death, but I am overjoyed when I hear the name of death, because after leaving body only I can absorb myself with God within me. So those who are identified with the mind in our body and outer world, it is very hard for them to rise above body consciousness. But we will have to leave sooner or later, no exception to the rule. The only thing that we have to conquer is that to know how to live there. So Master tells us, those who have this thing in view, that we have to leave someday, it is no bugbear, but no exception to the rule, then we should behave in the world in a way in which we are asked to live, we should be ready to live. That's all. And that we can only then, when we are given a demonstration how to rise above body consciousness, and day-to-day practice, our angle of vision has changed. We are too much attached to the world outside. This attachment brings our action reaction. If we make the best use of this man body, which is the golden opportunity, have a glimpse of the beyond, and somebody to weigh up, give us that demonstration and follow the instructions, we'll be working here and there at our will and pleasure. So Tulsi is very grateful to his master, you see. Why should he not be grateful? The death becomes a matter of jaya. The world, angle of vision is changed in the world. He is in the world, yet he is not attached to the world. His boat of life is in the water, but water of the world is not in his boat. He lives in the world, yet quite unaffected by the world of affairs. This is the difference what we have at the feet of the Master. Our angle of vision is changed. We are always ready whenever death call comes. All right, come on, I'm coming. So this is, as I told you, this is the most personal question which you have never cared for. Master has been reading this thing many times standing by, what does it profit a man if you gain the possessions of the world and lose one, your own soul? Those who lose this life, losing this life means not leave the world, but just learn to rise above the physical body and have a sentient beyond. After all, we have to go someday there. Why not have a foothold there now? No exception to the rule. So, along with other work that we are doing in the world as a reaction of the past, that God has united us with sons, daughters, fathers, mothers, other nations, with the flowing pen of God, we should respect them. But that is only paying off debts of the reactions of the past. Future, after all, we have to leave the father. If we are attached to the world, going, we come again where we are attached. If our soul is withdrawn from outside and have a contact with all consciousness within, which is God, into expression power, naturally, where will go? To the feet of the father. This is the basic teaching given by all masters throughout. And this is the most important part of it, and we have ignored practically. We simply read scripture with which these scriptures give only what is life, what is death, who we are, what connection we have got with the body, after all we have to leave the body, there is no escape from the death. But we never care for it. So what Tulsi thinks of his master, and anybody who got this benefit, he will think that way. He says, my all hopes are in my master, I have faith in my master, I am waiting to see him just as one bird is there, you see, who sees the drop of wool which falls from the heaven in the morning. So, that they have love for your master. Love for the master means what for? He will tell you how to rise above body culture. As you think, so you become. The God in him helps all others to rise above body consciousness, and if you just as you think, so you become. So he says, have love for the master, just like a chikor is a bird which always looks to see moon rising. It goes on overhead till the other side, and that bird does not dare to turn his face to look at the back. He says, go on, his head, his beak touches the land, back side. That will be constant remembrance of the God, of the God in man, God in him, of course. So this love will give you as you think so you want. Therefore, the love of the master is the basic teaching for development. That's the bread of life. That's the water of life. Their souls are intoxicated with God. They are the mouthpiece of God. Those eyes are through which God sees through the world, through them to the world, radiates. So this is what is God, the love of the master. The more you have, if you love me, keep my commands, this is what the Christ said. So if you get such a blessing at the feet of it, some competent person like that, you rise above body consciousness. Your single eye, inner eye is open to see the God into expression power, light of him and the sound principle. That is way back direct to absolute God. How thankful can we to such a great person? But such like master meet only with the grace of God. Only God descends his grace. He brings him in contact with somewhere where he is manifest. He is born the same way as we are. Of course, they never claim we are gods. They tell us we are sent by God. God's grace is working through us. But credit goes to him, not to us. This I explained to you the day before yesterday. What is the matter? So he says, we should have love of the Master. As you think, so you become. So love gets what you say, the same form. You say, even two love, soul of love is stuck between two hearts, they become one. Outer soul, when it is stuck again, anything that turns into two parts, you see. So love of God, for that where God is manifest, we have that love is for love of God. And to follow him into what you obey the message sent by God through them. So that, you see, symbols of which we have got all outside in the temples, in the churches, in mosques, in other holy places, the symbols of light and sound. They are only symbols given to such like sound, such like light is within you. So body is the true temple of God, but you have to withdraw your attention from all outside and from the body below. Just reach to the seat of the soul in the body, which is at the back of eyes, which is just practically dying while alive. Then you have got to transcend beyond.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. I'm John McIntosh, and I'm your reader this morning. I'm reading from Morning Talks, Chapter 9, How to Develop Love. Love can be developed in many ways, but the most effective way is through looking at the Master, into the eyes of the Master. Eyes are the windows of the soul. The Master is always within at the eye focus. So when you talk to him, you should always be attentive there. He is also attentive when he talks, and soul speaks to soul. The Master gives lessons through the eyes without talking. He is overflowing with the love and intoxication of God, and the radiation comes through his eyes very strongly. Those who are embedded in his eyes by receptivity get a boost. There are other means too, but this is the most effective. This is how we should attend satsang, so as to derive full benefit from it. When you come to the place of the satsang, just forget your homes. When you come here and sit, forget everybody else. You will even forget your own body. Just be embedded into the eyes of the Master. You will forget your body because eyes are the windows of the soul, and the soul radiates its impressions through the eyes. This is the most effective way of developing love. There are other means, such as having the society of those people who are overflowing with the love of their guru. When two disciples of the Master sit together, their love for the Master will flare up. When you happen to go to a Master, just embed your attention into his eyes. Because he is overflowing with love and intoxication of God, that comes direct to you with the overflowing love in him. What words cannot convey, his eyes can convey. Those very impressions go into the heart, and wherever you sit, you will enjoy that sweetness. This is how love develops. Who gives it? It is first he who loves us. It is first the mother who loves the child. The child's love is only reciprocal. The question then arises how to maintain this love. We should not be businesslike. Sometimes we want this and that thing of the world. We should wholly have the love of the Master for the love of the Master. This is how that love can be maintained. What sort of love is required? we should always have a respectful love. Sometimes out of love we transcend our bounds. Sometimes we try to vie with the master. Well, king is the king and the minister is the minister. The king may give the minister a good position and even make the minister sit by his side. Still, the minister should think that he is the minister, not the king. Because of misunderstanding, we sometimes transcend the bounds of love. The king will not say anything, but he will see that it is not respectful. I was just relating the story of Humayun, who was a great king of India. He had one servant, Ayaz by name, whom he loved most of all. His ministers approached him and said, "It is very strange you love your servants so much that you do not love us. Why is this so?" King replied, "Because my servant takes me as king." His ministers then said, "Do we not take you as king?" "No, not the least," replied the king. One day the king sent for a cup that was embedded with jewels from his treasure house. It was a very costly cup, the most costly of all his treasures. The king put it in front of him and asked each of his ministers to break it. He ordered them to break it. Each minister said, "O king, this is the most valuable thing, one of the wonders of the world. It should not be broken." One by one, all the ministers refused to break the cup. The king then called his servant and said to him, "Break it." Without any hesitation, the servant took a stick in his hand and broke the cup. The king then said to his servant, "Don't you know that you have broken a very valuable treasure?" The servant replied, "O king, this cup has no value as compared to the cup of your order." You follow me? Implicit obedience and love, which is always respectful, gives you more than any other discipline. You may have other enjoyments, other appreciations, but unless you remain a minister, you will lose out. He might give you the kingship, but even then you should remain a minister at heart. Once I wrote to my master and craved him for love. It is the master who can give love. It is he who first loves us. But such a love which was respectful. He got that letter and put it on his breast and said, "I want love, but it should be respectful love." So these are the teachings which are given here, how love can be developed, how it can be maintained, and further, who gives it. Also, what sort of love it should be. It should always be in a respectful mood. God is love. Love is innate in our soul, and the way back to God is also through love. All performances, making obeisance, and other things are the symbols of the respect that you have got at heart. The more you develop that way, the better. And as I told you, the most effective way is through the eyes. One love pouring glance from the master will go to the very depths of your heart, and you will remember it all through your life. You cannot forget it. These details are not given in the books. These are practical things which you learn from a practical man. If you get it, well, as I told you the other day, you will be detached from the world. You'll have detachment at heart. When you are attached to one wholly and solely, that is true renunciation. That love which cannot be expressed by words is expressed through the eyes of the giver to the eyes of the receiver and goes to the very depths of the heart. So this is what is meant by these little talks here. We must understand and see, find out where we stand. Chapter 10, The Outward Symbols and Expressions of One Who Has True Love for the Master. Love or charity is the attribute of the soul or the heart. Love for the world is not love, but is called lust or attachment. People speak of love, but where is it? They do not know even what love is. It is said that love can be found just by giving the heart away to somebody, and then go around heartless. If your heart is taken away by somebody, what is left to you? Only such a man can really realize what love is. The outer signs of a man who loves is that he gives implicit obedience, complete self-surrender. He cherishes what the beloved or the master wants. He always wants to please the master, not to please himself. Love is no business. It is not grown in the fields nor bought from any shop. It is already innate in your soul, but can be flared up when you come across somebody who is overflowing with love. We have got the man body in which this love can be developed. As I told you, love is already innate in your soul. It just requires attachment to somebody. Instead of attaching our soul to the over-self or God, who is all consciousness, we have attached it to the body, to the outgoing faculties and the world outside. This has been the reason of our coming and going back again and again to the world. If we have love for God, who is already controlling us in the body, then naturally, where will we go? We will go to where God is. We are not to return to the world. Love is flared up only in the company of somebody who is already overflowing with love. In his society, we will have the infection of love, the radiation of love. So who can follow this way? He who has completely surrendered his body, mind, and soul, and also his very faith. The beloved is everything to him. He will be ready to sacrifice everything for the beloved. A great saint, Sarmad by name, was asked, "Well, you have met your master. What have you got in return?" He replied, "To save the man body, we have to sacrifice everything, money and attachments. To save your soul, you will have to sacrifice your body. To save your faith, you'll have to sacrifice so many lives. All shackles of my body, mind, soul, and faith have been cut asunder. What more profit can there be? The very word of the Master is my faith. The very word of the Master is my life. It is the bread of life, the water of life." So complete self-surrender and implicit obedience are the outward signs of a man who loves. Who can have it? He who does not care for all outer things. To him, the word of the Master is the Bible, the Vedas, or the Quran. After all, what do the Vedas, the Quran, and the Bible contain? They give only statements of certain such-like masters who were one with God, who were God and man. The very words they express form the subject of this, of our scriptures. Those very words uttered by the masters who were word made flesh and dwelt amongst us are recorded in the scriptures. If you come across somebody who is word made flesh, his very word is the Bible, the Quran, or the Guru Granth Sahib. Who can give his body, attachment, soul, and everything? It is a man who is very brave at heart. The outward symbol or expression of one who loves is that he gives implicit obedience to the Master. If you love me, keep my commandments. This is what Christ said. All other masters have said the same. Guru Nanak says, "The God in man is the very God, the very Guru." There is less hope for those who pay obeisance to the body of the Master, as compared with those who pay obedience to the words which he utters. For them, emancipation is definite, sure, and certain. we should obey and pay respects to the words that the Master utters. Then we are sure to go back to the home of our Father. Those who only pay obeisance to the Master outwardly and do not live up to what the Master says, there is yet time. The time factor is a necessity. That is why Christ said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." This is the first step. Ultimately, we give body, mind, soul, and everything. Such a man has got no will of his own, but the will of the Master is his will. Just see where you actually stand. If you give everything, what remains is God. W-O-R-L-D spells world. If you take out the I-hood from within you, you are God. If you take out L from the word world, only word remains. It is, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. This little I-hood, this ego, stands in our way to God. When you completely surrender yourself to the God and man, to the God and man, not the body, although we have respect for the body, of course, then your L, or I-hood, is eliminated. There is a story of Guru Ram Dass, who was the fourth guru of the Sikhs. The masters always test their disciples to see how far they are fit. So his master, Guru Amar Das, gave an order to raise certain platforms made from mud. All of the disciples started building the platforms as ordered. When they were ready, the master inspected them and said, "These are no good. This is not right. You'll have to make new platforms." Again, the disciples constructed the platforms. 2, 3, 4, 5 times they did this. Then the master said, "This place is no good. There's a better place over there to build them." Well, by and by, all of the disciples left off building the platforms except for Guru Ram Dass. The other disciples began to say that the master had grown old and is losing his faculties. Guru Ram Dass, with tears in his eyes, said, "The master is all wisdom, all consciousness. If I am ordered to build these platforms and break them all through life, my lookout is only to obey his orders." He had complete self-surrender. You follow me? This means complete self-surrender. Now, step by step, judge for yourself where you stand. If you want to meet God, then you must have self-surrender. When there is no L, then God is within you. He has not come from outside. It is your I-hood or ego that stands in the way. This ego comes up when you are conscious of the body, whether physical, astral, or causal. When you rise above the physical body, the physical I-hood is eliminated. When you rise above the astral body, you lose the astral I-hood. When you rise above the causal body, then you will completely understand who you are. Your will is the will of the Lord. The Lord's will is within you. The ABC starts from where? When you obey the orders of the Master. What does the Master say? He says, "Keep your life pure. For a while, leave off from outside and introvert within. Rise above body consciousness. Come into contact with the God into expression power, the light and sound principle within you. Then rise above the astral and causal bodies. You'll realize what is meant by, 'I and my Father are one.' You can then rise further into the superconscious state. This is the ultimate goal. The ABC starts from complete self-surrender and implicit obedience to the Master, the God in him, of course. We respect his body because that human pole is blessed at which the God power works, at which it manifests. The man who is attracted to the outward things of name and fame How can he take even one step on the way? So this is what is always enjoined by all masters who come in the past. They came here to bring you back to God, but the people don't pay any attention to them. They sometimes get out of their way, they sometimes go out of their way to molest the masters. So if we want to progress on the way back to God, these are the steps that we have to take. You must have implicit obedience. Why get stuck in the physical enjoyments and the outward things? You should rise above them. Chapter 11, Chastity. We must become self-centered. I was just speaking about the chastity of life, which is the most important part of the spiritual life. Spirituality cannot dawn on a mind which is driven or attached through the outgoing faculties to the outward enjoyments. Out of the five outgoing faculties of eyes, ears, nose, touch, and taste, three are the most powerful. Lust attacks us 80% through the eyes, 14% through the ears, and the remaining 6% mainly through touch. So how to maintain chastity? That's the point. You have to control your attention. The mind and outgoing faculties derive their power from the soul, and the outward expression of the soul is the attention. So if our attention is riveted at the center of the soul and the body, and we make the best use of the outgoing faculties, we will not be affected by what we see or hear. You might be looking at somebody, but you need not be doing so with your full consciousness, even with your open eyes. Somebody may be relating long stories of vicious things to you. If you control your attention, even with your open ears, you won't hear. We derive effects from outside, and wherever our attention goes, we are affected by the radiation of those with whom we come in contact. If they are pure, that's all right. If not, you get their radiation. How to be air-conditioned, I would say, is the question. If there is heat outside, what should we do? We should become air-conditioned. If you become centered within your own self by withdrawing your attention from outside, from the body below, then, if you would like to see through the eyes, you might see at your will. If you will be self-centered, you won't be affected by any of the outgoing faculties. But as we are given up to the outward attachments, naturally, we will receive impressions from outside. To be pure is the ground on which God manifests. That is why Christ said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Buddha, Christ, and other saints and masters all gave out in their own way this very thing. They all said, "You must be pure at heart. Out of the abundance of heart a man speaks." You speak what you have already got within you. If you have pure thoughts within you, then you are pure. Then naturally, whatever will go out from you, through your mouth or by radiation, will have the same effect. Whatever we speak, whatever we radiate, carries that effect of what is within us. That is why it is said, a man speaks of the abundance of his heart. Everybody says, be chaste, observe celibacy. For that, the only criterion or specific remedy is what? To be self-centered. It is we who give power to the mind. It is we who give power to the outgoing faculties. It is we who see good or bad outside. If we become self-centered, we may make the best use of our outgoing faculties however we like. At the present time, we are driven away, attracted by outside things like anything. If you are self-centered and somebody touches you, you will not be affected. You will be air-conditioned. But if you touch those who are not air-conditioned, that will carry its effect. So for that, all masters have enjoined, don't touch anybody. Don't look into the eyes of others. These are the outward precautions to save you. Just like when a tree is cut down. First the branches are shorn off, and then it is easier to cut the stem. These precautions are only to cut off the branches. But the whole thing will depend on being self-centered, to get your attention centered within you. The outward expression of the soul is called attention, or sarat. If you become self-centered, you can make use of any of your outgoing faculties, your will and pleasure. Now you cannot do that. We are driven like anything. You are in the world and see everybody. The only precaution is, don't look into the eyes of others and you will be saved. But still the main remedy, the specific remedy, lies in being air-conditioned. Then you may come in touch with anybody, like a man who lives among snakes, but who has some incantation to protect him, so is never bitten. You follow my point? What I want to bring out to you? So being self-centered is the main thing. That will come in due course with regular devotion of time to your spiritual practices. By airing the soul, you are cut off from outside. By seeing intently the light within, you are cut off from the body and outgoing faculties. A doctor who used to examine my master once said to him, "You say that you are withdrawn from the body. Can you prove it?" "All right," the master said. "Examine me if you like." And he became self-centered. The doctor found hardly any indication of life in his body. Even his blood circulation was very slow. It is the attention which gives life to the body. This we have forgotten. We are engaged in outward practices which involve the use of the outgoing faculties. You may do these for hundreds of years. They may be good acts or bad acts and will react accordingly. But unless you become self-centered, I will again say, you cannot be saved by outward attachments. So the best way to attain purity is to be self-centered. If you want to make use of your eyes or other organs of the outgoing faculties, use them. Otherwise, not. He is a self-centered man, I would say, who is called a saint. He comes in contact with you, and sometimes he pats you or looks at you mercifully. This does not mean that he is influenced by you. He influences others because he is competent. We are influenced by others. That is the pity. There is a vast difference between the influence of a saint and the influence of others. You may say that he is sitting with us. Sometimes he talks to us in a jolly way. Do you mean to say that he is attracted by you? Not the least. He sits with us, talks with us only to attract us and others to come on the right way. So there is a vast difference between a man who is self-centered and who has come solely to help others to become self-centered, and a man who has not become self-centered. The time factor is a necessity, of course. Rome was not built in a day. Every saint has his past and every sinner his future. These are things which we have to grasp and make the best use of. Be self-centered, and for that you must be regular in your practices. Go all through life with your attention centered within you. I learned this secret from Napoleon's life. I have read more than 300 books written about the lives of saints and other great men. Napoleon was a very self-centered man, I tell you. At about 2 o'clock in the morning, he was writing the proceedings of the primary school. It happened to be the morning of the Battle of Waterloo. At about 8 o'clock, He was walking in the garden. One of the ministers was there and asked him, "What are you doing? The battle is due to start at 9 o'clock." "Well, that is 9 o'clock. It is 8 o'clock now," replied Napoleon. You see how self-centered he was. I have read the biographies of many saints. We learn something from every man's life. Man is not made great by learning something in his head. It is something which he has brought out in his own life, which makes him great. You follow my point now? Everybody lays great stress on being chaste, but still we are not chaste. The reason is that the atmosphere is poisoned. The people whom we touch are poisoned. It is better if you get the company of a good self-centered man. If not, then it is better to live alone. These things are not referred to in books, but given clearly, cut and dried, just as I am putting before you now. You want to be pure? All right. Then be self-centered. The diaries will help you, as in cutting the branches off a tree. When the fruit is cut from a tree, it cannot remain fresh. It remains fresh as long as it is untouched by the hand of man. If it is touched by the hand of man, it cannot remain fresh, although there is one way out. That is, keep it in honey, then it won't spoil. The honey should be the love of God, love of the Master. That way we can remain safe, quite fresh, otherwise not. I think I'll leave off there. Excuse me a minute, I'll do a count. Well, there were 74 people at the satsang today. Thank you, everybody, for attending. And thank you, Master, for providing the satsang to us. Now please hang up your phone.